Okay, thank you very much. Again, my name is Jennifer Renix. I am the Policy and Communications Director with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and we appreciate you joining us today for today's telepress conference. On behalf of SAFE, I would like to thank all of you for joining. With us today, we are joined by Mr. David Freeman. He is the former TVA board member. And we have Dr. Stephen Smith. He is Executive Director of Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Both are going to offer some brief comments specific to today's decision by the Tennessee Valley Authority Board concerning the Watts Bar 2 nuclear power plant. And then we will unmute the lines in a few minutes and accept questions from the media that are joining us on this call. So I would like to get started here and turn this media line over to you both. Mr. Freeman and Stephen, are you there and can you begin to speak? Hello? Is Mr. David Freeman and Stephen Smith available? Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, hey, can you hear us now?
Yes, we have you now.
Okay,
thank you.
We were muted there. So thanks, everybody, for joining. My name is Stephen Smith. David and I are actually traveling back from Greenville, and so we apologize for the background noise. David asked me to just say a few comments right at the beginning, and then he will be speaking here in a second. Basically, my comments focus on two things. One is accountability, and one is transparency. And basically, I was very disappointed by the decision today with the TVA board. Basically, there was a $2 billion mistake. They started this process back in 2006 relative to trying to reinitiate the completion of Browns Ferry 2, which actually formally started back in 1973. They contracted with Bechtel for $20 million. This is a company that had already been caught, investigated, and caught overcharging TVA for contracts they had done before. This company basically, for the $20 million, basically lowballed the estimate on completing Watts Bar 2, so that in August 2007, the TVA board, of which the current chairman, Bill Sampson, and CEO Tom Kilgore were actively involved with at the time. Most of the other board members are new. But they basically, Bechtel lowballed the estimate. We thought there was a great conflict of interest at the time, that they would, because they were also bidding to actually get the EPC contract, where they would actually be the primary contractor on the site. And by lowballing the estimate and convincing the board that it was such a good deal, the board actually approved the process in August 2007. And now here we are in 2012. There's no way the project will be completed on time or on budget. They're now saying that it can be as much as $2 billion or maybe more, and 3 years. And if that information had been brought forward to the board back in August 2007 accurately, we question whether that decision would have been made the same way. The other thing is that the board in August of 2011 approved the Bellefonte nuclear power plant. We were told by TVA staff on a call earlier this week that the seriousness of the problems at Watts Bar were not known to TVA staff and not made available to the TVA board in the August 2011 decision to go forward with Bellefonte. But now we're getting mixed messages, because today during the board meeting, the board acknowledged that the inspector general was already asking questions, and that Kilgore and some of the board members were aware of this. And this ultimately, I think, led to my former board member, Mike Duncan, requiring that the Watts Bar, the Bellefonte decision on construction should not move forward before Watts Bar had fuel loaded. The only other thing I'll say very quickly is on the transparency side, we believe the TVA needs to put their numbers out very cleanly, that they flashed a bunch of numbers today, but there's very little backup for those numbers. I participated in their most recent integrated resource plan. All of the scenarios that they looked at now are really are lower than what they thought. Demand is lower than what they thought. The cost of natural gas is lower than what they thought. These have dramatic impacts on whether you need new generation, particularly for something like the Bellefonte decision or even Watts Bar 2. The costs now are well over budget, and they the TVA needs to update their scenarios in a transparent fashion so that we can evaluate, stakeholders and independent minds can evaluate their decision-making. So I'll be happy to answer questions in a minute. Now let me turn it over to Chairman Freeman and let him make some comments.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dave Freeman. I was on the TVA board from 77 to 84 and as chairman for many of those years. In fact, I think I was the first native-born Tennessee Valley resident that was ever chairman of TVA. I felt like I was watching a bad dream today. I mean, here is the same power plant that my predecessor, Red Wagner, said you could build both units for $500 million, incurring a $2 billion cost overrun 30 years later. There was one person at the meeting today who thanked the board for employing her husband for 40 years. What she didn't say, he was working at the same power plant construction job for 40 years. You know, this is almost unbelievable. Now, I think the problem, I haven't been back here in a while, but I think this is the first time I saw the part-time board in action. And frankly, what impressed me was that they didn't have enough knowledge to ask penetrating questions. In fact, there were no penetrating questions asked. I remember what kind of a cross-examination we would put our staff through before we approved any kind of a rate increase. So here was a $2 billion cost overrun, and the staff presentation went on and on and on and on. But the board members, were part-time. I'm not blaming them as individuals. I know many of them. They're bright, nice, well-meaning people, but there is no board oversight worthy of the name. It's a staff-driven organization today, and the head of the organization proclaims that he's pro-nuclear, and he believes, almost as a matter of religion, in nuclear power. And who's going to pay for all this but the ratepayers in the Tennessee Valley. Other interesting thing to me is when the charts they put up there that were flashed on and off, there was no chart that showed if you spent just half of this money on energy efficiency that it would provide as much power as that nuclear plant may someday provide. The other thing that impressed me is that when I was there, we had TVA employees that did the construction work and managed it. And it's true that we got the same kind of cost overruns, and then Richard Freeman and I voted to shut the plants down because they were costing too much. And we stopped construction on 8 reactors. If we hadn't, TVA's rates would be another 50% higher than they are today. But the thing about it, now they're going to contractors. And, you know, I've run a number of utilities. And if you're going to have somebody contract something out, you get a fixed price out of them. You get penalties if they don't deliver. And they take the risk of cost overrun. So if we're moving to a new situation here at TVA where instead of doing our own construction work, you do it by contract. The least you can have, the very least you can have, is a price where the risk is taken by the contractor. And I was told that nobody would agree to that. So you've got the worst of all worlds. You've got people out there who are constructing the job that are not TVA employees. They don't have the pride of a TVA employee. They're just out to make money. And, you know, this is what happens. There's no responsibility. There's no one you can hold responsible. And there is no reason to think that this latest estimate is going to be any more correct than the prior. So here's a power plant that's gone on for 30 years, busting every budget that's ever come up with. And so it's not a problem of the poor management. It's a problem that this technology is so demanding and requires such perfection that it always costs more. Every power plant in America costs more and more. Now, there are most utilities around the country now recognize that the future lies in renewable energy. In the interim, the transition is natural gas. This TVA decision today, as I mentioned to them, reminds me of the woman that was looking down on the parade ground as the soldiers marched by and asked, why is every one of those soldiers out of step except my son? Why is the president of the largest nuclear utility in the country proclaiming that gas is cheaper and that nuclear power is not a religion, it's a business, and it needs to be decided in a business-like way? So I love TVA. I spent 20 years of my life working for TVA, first as an engineer, then as a lawyer, and then as a member of the board. And I think it's done more for this valley than any other institution. It's one of the great successes of the federal government. And you know, Howard Baker used to always call us a living laboratory. Well, right today, it seems to me more a living dinosaur. And it kind of breaks my heart to have to say that.
Okay, so we'll be, you want to unmute the folks, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you might have or clarifications on our statement.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Freeman and Dr. Smith. We're now going to open the call line for any questions we have from members of the media. If you do have a question, please press star 6 to unmute yourself, and please tell us your name and your affiliation as you ask your question. The lines are open, so now please go ahead. Do we have any calls from those media that are on this call line with us? Any questions?
I have a question, if you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead. Your name, please.
Pam Sohn. I'm with the Chattanooga Times Free Press.
Thank you, Pam. Please go ahead.
Several people in the, a couple of people anyway, in the audience today sort of called for Tom Kilgore's resignation or overthrow, however you want to say it. What do you think about that? Do you think that it's time for him to step down?
I think the responsible party is the TVA board. I took full responsibility when I was on the board. If Mr. Kilgore is not performing adequately, and I'm not casting judgment on him, I think it's up to the board to do something about it. I don't blame staff for a board decision. And frankly, I think the cost overrun is inherent in the nuclear technology, and the board is the one that decided to continue. And I think it was Albert Einstein that said that a peculiar form of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
Pam, this is Steve. I may take a little bit of a different tack on that. I like Tom as an individual, but if you think about on his watch, you've had two of some of the largest financial missteps in the history of TVA. You've got the Kingston coal ash spill that's now cost the agency, going to cost the agency over $1 billion. And while some of those decisions were made before he came on, it did happen on his watch. And then the other is that we've now got, he was a very strong proponent of pushing the board forward towards the Watts Bar 2 decision and also pushing the board on the Bellefonte decision. And now we're $2 billion over on the Watts Bar 2 decision in counting. And they're set up to go forward on Bellefonte unless somebody intervenes. Now, maybe he's going to do that, and we look forward to that. But $3 billion is a lot of messing up to happen on your watch.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pam. Do we have any other questions from anyone else who is on this line?
Yes, this is Stephen Sondheim. I'm with the Sierra Club. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. My question to both David and Steve are about costs. TVA has recently put forth that it only costs 3.5 cents a kilowatt hour. I just don't believe that. And I think that we need to do a really in-depth analysis of the costs of nuclear power. And I maintain that it's prohibitively expensive and that that proposal they're putting out needs to be challenged. If that proposal's true, it looks to the public and like nuclear is viable, and I just don't think it is. And I think I'm not capable of doing that analysis myself, but I hope that somebody does do that. And not only for operating costs, but, well, I think the operating costs are probably more than that as well, but the whole ball of wax costs. So I'm really pleading for that to be done and for that to be an attack point about this whole move. Can you all comment on that?
Steve, I appreciate your comments, and we agree that the costs need to be analyzed. We do want to let the members of the media ask the questions, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
This is Mary Powers from Platts. And I think that's, could we follow up on that? I mean, do you all have you gotten any real outline of what caused the cost overruns, besides the fact that they didn't do the proper walk down in the beginning?
Well, Mike Skaggs, has been brought in and has done what he claims to be a very systematic review, and he certainly can talk very eloquently about all the various things that went wrong and present it at length today to the board. But if you sum it all up, there was a catastrophic breakdown in management, both by the contractor, because Bechtel mismanaged the project very significantly. The TVA oversight was not in place, and there was no methodology of catching it early, and so they kept going, even though it was screwed up.
I think the problem, I've managed a lot of utilities, and the very idea of having a private contractor without a fixed amount of money and maybe a performance bonus or a penalty if they don't make it, where the contractor takes the risk of cost overruns, is so foreign to prudent business practices that I find it appalling and unbelievable. I mean, either you have your own people do something and then you take the risk, but you feel like maybe you'll get it done cheaper that way. But if you have a private contractor, he or she is going to lowball the estimate and then not be that concerned about what it actually costs. It's inherent in the way the TVA is going about building that unit today, in my opinion, plus the fact it's obviously inherent in building nuclear power plants. I mean, every nuclear plant around the country has had cost overruns most of its adult life. That's the reason that I decided, along with my colleague back in the early 80s under Ronald Reagan, to cancel 8 reactors because they were having cost overruns, and we didn't really need the power that badly. Efficiency was cheaper. So what you've got are, I think, problems that are fundamental to the way they're going about doing business and the technology that they're trying to use.
This is Sarah Barzak with Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Mary, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
If you look at the slide presentations from today are now available, and if you look at slide number 80, they have it's the cost breakdown that includes, I guess, these ballpark estimates of the cost increases. So the first one they identified was the estimating error, so that goes back to Bechtel's estimate. And that looks like, according to the bar graph, about $1 billion. And then they have an execution error, which I remember Mike Skaggs was describing, and that looks like in the neighborhood of 300 to 500 million. And then they also have Fukushima listed, and that looks like another 200, 250 million. And that brings you up to that, you know, $4 billion to $4.5 billion estimate. So if you look at slide 80, that might help.
I know, it's terrible. I couldn't see the slides. And then when I tried to look at it with the slides, I couldn't hear it, so it was just a nightmare.
Sure. We can send you the link if you need it. It's on the TVA board page now, and you can click on it.
I actually think they've sent it to me by now.
Okay, great.
You know, the other question I have is really more Mr. Freeman talks about it. I mean, it's crazy that TVA would, I mean, it seems to me that it's a little bizarre that somebody comes in, estimates a project, lowballs it, builds it, there are these huge cost overruns, and is still on the site.
Mary, that's exactly right. I mean, there is absolutely no accountability. I mean, Bechtel has overcharged TVA and has got caught. They got a $20 million contract to project this thing. They lowballed it. They then turn around and win the contract. That seems to be a horrible conflict of interest. And then they basically get on the contract. They screw it up. And then TVA, as David said, it doesn't have any sort of ability, leverage on them to basically require them to meet any sort of targets and deadlines with penalties that they're willing to talk about. Now, they said we're doing some stuff internally, but I think TVA needs to make that stuff public so the ratepayers have confidence that they're actually managing their contractors. They were at the same board meeting. They were talking about another contractor on nuclear waste storage for the dry cast that has had all kinds of problems with the federal government and been blackballed. Now they basically said, "Well, we've got it fixed up and we're going with them." This is there needs to be some sort of higher standard for who they contract with and locking these guys in so there's some accountability.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, please do.
Sorry. I just, between this call and the end of the TVA board meeting, I listened to Dominion's conference call. And Dominion, Tom Farrell, their chairman, said, you know, if we were building a nuclear plant, talking about another unit at North Anna in Virginia, if we were building that as a merchant plant, we would not build it. But because we're building it as a regulated plant, we need to do that for the very same reasons that TVA is talking about, you know, to have that balanced portfolio. What kind of validity do you give to that argument?
Zero.
Zero?
Zero. TVA was 100% renewable before World War II, had the lowest priced electricity in the world, and transformed the Tennessee Valley from a very poor area into an industrial giant. There was no balance. It was all hydropower, and it was all low cost. I mean, you go for the lowest cost, cleaner resources, and there is nothing clean about nuclear power. It is a radioactive factory, and we've now learned, we're talking today, interesting enough, on the 26th anniversary of Chernobyl. I went over there in 1991, And nuclear power has wiped out a good portion of the Ukraine. It's now wiped out a good portion of Japan. The risks are greater than zero. We didn't have alternatives in the 70s. We do now. It is a peculiar form of insanity to continue building plants like this, especially when they cost more than alternatives. And it's just an addiction that I think this organization has to nuclear power without a rational basis to it.
And David's exactly right, but even if you were to buy the argument about a balanced portfolio, TVA's already hit their 30% in the balance for nuclear, and the fact that they, you know, what we'd like to see is they should be doing, you know, if they're going to keep the plants they've got going at 30%, have a fossil fuel category for coal and gas, and then they should be shooting for 30% with their hydro and the renewables. Now, that's a balanced portfolio, not where you have what Kilgore's talking about, 30 to 40% nuclear power, 30% coal, another 30% gas, and then you let renewables and hydro pick up the tiny bit remaining. That's not balanced. If they want to do balance, then they ought to be looking at shooting for 30% hydro and renewables, because that's better. But as David said, they need to be doing the low-cost, clean, low-risk power choices, and that's not nuclear power.
Okay. Can I jump in here? This is Pam Sohn again. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Pam. Thank you.
On the renewables question, they keep saying that the renewables are just not there yet. It's just not there yet. We can't get the same thing. It's not cheap enough. Is that true?
No. Absolutely not. In the state of California, by law, we have 20% renewables other than hydro, and we're going to 33% by 2020, and there's 8,000 megawatts of solar power plants in the queue under construction being considered. I read in the paper just the other day that a huge solar company is announcing that the cost of solar modules are now less than $1 a watt. That means $1 million dollars a megawatt. In other words, it's the capital cost of solar is lower than the capital cost of watts bar. Now, I realize that you get more power out of a nuclear plant than you get out of a solar plant. But then again, you get zero fuel costs. And listen, when we built Norris Dam back in 1933, it was expensive. When we built these hydro stations, but they're depreciated over years, and now that hydro is the cheapest power in the world. The same will be true of solar power. There's not a solar panel that's ever worn out because there's no moving parts. It just sits there. It depreciates a little bit. But, you know, TVA, Howard Baker, Senator Baker used to call us the living laboratory. And we really need some people that are open-minded and looking at all the technology. When they say solar is not here today, let them come to California and look at it and see. Let them come to Texas. You realize that on March the 6th of this year, 23% of all the electricity generated in the state of Texas came from wind power. They have 10,000 megawatts of wind power. This stuff is happening. TVA is addicted to nuclear power, and it's costing the consumers huge sums of money. I mean, the electric rates in the Tennessee Valley have just kind of crept up constantly, mainly because of the addiction to nuclear power. And, you know, I've been on all sides of this issue, but once you go to Chernobyl and you see a monument dedicated to dead villages, when you go out on those villages and see people that can't even grow food on their land anymore and they can't live there anymore, when they start crying when you tell them that there's such a thing as solar power, you got to realize that this is deadly stuff. It can't get insured. And so why do we want to keep building more and more of it when we have alternatives that are cheaper? You know, that's kind of, and you know, it's just going to take a while for all this to soak in to the CVA board. But the problem is you have part-time people on that board that don't spend all their time like we did, and they're not appointed because of their knowledge of the subject matter. They're appointed because of through a political process that really is not bringing the kind of talent to the TVA board that the David Lilienthals and people like that that made TVA one of the most successful outfits in the world. And it's just kind of breaking my heart to have to say all this because I put 20 years of my life in this agency, and it's done nothing but good for most of its life, and it can do good in the future. They just need to get over this hang-up over nuclear power, and perhaps they will. At least we're trying to help educate them.
When you were on the board, how many plants did you vote to cancel, Mr.
Eight.
Kramer?
Yeah. 8,000 megawatt reactors, four
eight.
In Hartsville, four at Yellow Creek, two at Phipps Bend, and
let's do it at Yellow Creek.
Two at Phipps Bend. It's that makes eight. Two at Yellow Creek, two at Phipps Bend, and four at Hartsville.
Okay.
And
when you voted to cancel,
believe me, it wasn't easy. It's a tough thing to do, but that's what board members that had 9-year terms and had a degree of independence were able to do. This board has been greatly weakened by being part-time and not people that are independent.
And Pam, I think you know this, but certain senators in Washington make these board members take an absolute oath before they'll let them get confirmed that they're big supporters of nuclear power. They do not give them the autonomy and the flexibility to make the kind of decisions to basically walk away from this technology if it's high risk and economic risk and others. And I think that's corrupting the process because they extract in blood these commitments and they screen any candidates that would be good candidates for the board based on their willingness to blindly support nuclear power. And you see that now in operation. Even though we just had a $2 billion cost overrun, 3 years behind schedule, you know, they're up there rubber stamping a decision to just keep marching forward. I also want to go back to your question about renewables real quick. One of the things that I referenced was there are proposals that are very viable to use high-voltage DC lines to deliver wind power in Memphis. It's called the Clean Line Proposal. That could deliver 3,500 megawatts of high capacity factor wind. That means approaching 50%, which is much, much higher than we're getting here. At the company's projecting, you know, high fours, low 5 cents. That beats the price of what they're going to be able to get Watts Bar on for, and I guarantee you it beats hands down what they could ever get Bellefonte on for. So it is not accurate for Mr. Kilgore to say that going forward they cannot get renewables at a lower price. He's singling out information instead of doing a comprehensive analysis, and that was one of our critiques of the IRP was that they didn't do the kind of analysis they needed to show that renewables could be a bigger part of their generation portfolio.
Okay. Where is that clean line now? Is it in the This is Mary Powers.
It's in the development stage.
Okay.
They have gotten, you know, it's coming from Oklahoma through Arkansas into the terminus at Memphis. And I strongly encourage you to contact them because my understanding is the DOE has recently given them the condemnation authority that they need to be able to start really moving forward on that project. And one of the reasons we've heard people knock it was they never thought it would get built because they had to come across the state of Arkansas. Well, they cut a contract with one of the biggest cable manufacturers in Arkansas just to supply the cable. They've been working with the governors in Oklahoma and Arkansas. If I was going to bet on a project that has a higher chance of successfully getting done, I would say building that high voltage DC line into Memphis has a lot better chance of being built than ever finishing Bellefonte. And that's the kind of vision and leadership and going into the 21st century we need TVA as a living laboratory to do, instead of going back here and trying to resurrect these dinosaur plants that are already 40, approaching 50 years old and are just a constant cost overrun. As David said, when Watts Bar was originally conceived, two reactors for $500 million or less, we just blew through the $10 billion mark, and we still only have one operating reactor, and it's not going to get done for anything less than $12 billion. Now, that's a hell of a cost overrun.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm.
I'd just like to add one point. Even if you are addicted to nuclear power, why would you want to build a reactor, a complete reactor, that was designed in the 1960s? The industry is bragging to about how much safer the new designs are, the AP1000, whether they call them. And they do have passive cooling so that you're not dependent upon pumps and things to take the heat away. If a plant's not going to be producing electricity until well in the 21st century, you'd think that the Tennessee Valley Authority, the living laboratory, would be building the 21st century version of nuclear power rather than the 20th century, which is inherently riskier. You know, neither one of those plants can get insurance in the private market. All of this it just tells me that there's not impartial analytical thinking going on. There is an addiction to nuclear power that's got to be broken, or the TVA customer is going to go broke.
Other questions?
Are there any other questions? If there are not at this time, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say no more for me. Thank you.
And then no more for me. I've got information overload, but I really appreciate you guys doing this.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. We appreciate y'all joining us. We will be posting this telepress conference live as a podcast on our website, so you will be able to access it later. And we thank you very much. If there are additional questions, please don't hesitate to contact us using SACE's media line. And we thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.